welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to help you eliminate your debt totally. And then we're going to show you how to live a debt-free life. There's no secrets. It's all contained in the Bible. Go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. It's a 9-week small group study, and we list all the topics that are discussed over those 9 weeks. Now, John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And Evelyn, in preparing for today's show, we started to discuss money mistakes that we all have made. And looking back, those mistakes were tied into what I'd like to call excuses. So how about if we run through a few of those excuses and also discuss solutions?
None of us are perfect.
Boy, you can say that again.
And we all make mistakes, right?
Absolutely. And I probably make most of them.
No, you don't.
Some mistakes are big ones, and some of them you don't know about. They're little ones.
Oh, so you're hiding mistakes from me? Well, you know, and that's true. And some mistakes can have a lasting impact, and some of them don't really matter at all because the impact is so small. So the trick is to understand what mistakes that you are making that are really, really significant, and make fewer of the ones that are going to hurt your long-term financial stability.
That's absolutely good, Evelyn. I love that. The trouble is, so many times we don't really know what they are. So hopefully, I think we're going to talk about what some of those mistakes might be today.
We're going to talk about the mistakes you're making so you're not real about your financial life. Mistakes that are hiding your true financial picture from you.
That sounds like a great idea. What's the first one?
People always say, I need such and such.
But I do.
I need the new phone. It just came out.
Don't you need one, Steve?
I need a new 3-iron.
You need a new golf game.
Whoa. That is really nasty.
Now, I need a new golf game.
I interpret that to mean I need all new clubs. Thank you.
We'll talk to your wife about that.
Yeah, that'll go far.
No, but have you noticed that people use the word need when what they really mean is want? I want the newest tech phone that came out. I want a new computer. I want a bigger house. I want a better car.
Needs, you have to understand the difference between needs and wants.
And
needs are the basic necessities of life. So for me, that's food and food and food. No, food, clothing, and shelter.
That's right.
Yes. And anything beyond basic food, clothing, and shelter, then it becomes a want.
So why do you think it's hard for people to differentiate between need and want?
Because everything in our society tells us that you need everything that the advertisers are selling. I mean, there's a commercial out now. I think it's for one of the cable services that says you need food, clothing, and internet.
Oh, right. It is.
Yeah.
You're right. I did see that.
Food, clothing, and internet, huh?
Yeah.
Forget about the house.
Food, clothing, you need. Internet, I mean, it's...
It's nice.
It's very nice to have, but you can live without internet, as we proved during the recent hurricane.
Yes.
Right?
That's true. And, you know, we've gone through that at various times in our lives. We were living in a city, and we had a beautiful house. It wasn't even the first house we've ever owned. I think it was the fourth house that we've ever owned. Nice, big, two-story red house. We just absolutely needed...
A bigger house.
A bigger house with more property. That was the beginning of the downfall.
It was. And we didn't really need that big house.
We didn't need that big a house. It was so big that it was actually, almost the biggest house we've ever owned by the time we got it built.
It was just something we wanted, but we convinced ourselves we needed it.
We needed it, absolutely.
So that's the first test with how honest you are with yourself about money is, are you confusing needs and wants, or are you really focusing in on the difference between needs and wants? And what does your vocabulary say about how you're using those two words, needs and wants? And wants aren't bad, but you can't convince themselves that they're needs.
I mean, everybody can have wants. In fact, everybody should probably have wants simply because that's an opportunity to grow, to move forward and stuff. But you can't mortgage the farm in order to get all your wants.
But that ties in with the next topic, which is people always say, once I get such and such, then I'll be happy.
And, you know, that goes back to what Timothy said, or Paul said in 1 Timothy, if we have food and clothing, we shall be content. That's the last word of that sentence, content. Are we content? I don't think so.
Us personally?
No. A generation, our society as a whole.
Well, that's because everybody thinks once I get such and such, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly. We can fool ourselves that the next thing that we buy, the next greatest thing, like Apple just came out with an iPhone 8 and an iPhone X. You know, you got two choices to make yourself even more happier than you already are with your 6 or 7.
But, you know, happiness is really just a state of mind. And if you think you're going to get happy when you get the next best thing, it's not going to make you happy for long. I mean, you might be happy with it when you bring it home and it's real shiny and new, and then it just kind of melds into the background of all the other possessions you have.
That happiness is going to last somewhere between 30 minutes and 3 days.
And then you're on to the next thing.
Then you're on to the next thing. You know, it's like when you get a new car and you've been pining after this car. You don't pine just for girls. Now you're at a stoplight and you see another car just like it on the other side of the street. Well, son of a gun, now I've got something that everybody else has got. Well, that's no good. That's the way we think as a society. It's totally unrealistic.
And if you set yourself up on that cycle of being happy with the next best thing you get, you're never going to be satisfied because there's always something there that is better than what you have. So you're always looking for the next best thing.
And you know what's going to happen? You keep going after those next best things all the time, pretty soon you're going to run out of cash. Then you're going to use debt to finance that. Once that happens, the ball game's over. You lost.
And that's the next way people fool themselves and aren't realistic about their money. They think everybody has debt and we can use credit cards to buy all the things we want. So if you get into debt and you can't subtract your expenses from your net spendable income and come up with a positive number because you're paying for so much debt, then you're going to run into trouble, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's like that bishop in Bieska Biała, Poland, told us that time. You remember that, Evelyn?
I do.
He held up his index finger and the middle finger together, kind of like Scout's honor or peace or whatever. And he pointed to his middle finger and he says, this is your income.
Because it's the longer one.
It's the longer one. And your index finger, because it's shorter, that is your expenses. Then he turned his hand around. He had all of his thumb and his fingers that he was holding facing me. And he turned it around. So now all I could see was the back of his hand and the fingers. And then he says, and don't get them confused.
Because if you're spending more than you earn, it's always going to catch up with you.
Exactly.
Now, that's not saying you can pay cash for everything, because we know that you can very rarely buy a house with cash or student loans or practical reality these days. But if you're digging yourself deeper and deeper into debt each month because you're fulfilling your wants, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you, and you're going to find yourself in a hole so big you can't climb out of it.
You have to have an amount of money every month that's called spendable income.
That's right.
What is spendable income? Well, let me tell you. You know, you get your paycheck at some point in the month, and you know what the gross amount is. That's the amount you never get. And then they take out taxes and Social Security and probably medical insurance and hopefully some savings plan that your company is offering, and then you get the check, and it's a net amount that is always much less than the gross amount.
It's not your salary, it's your net spendable income.
That becomes your net spendable income, exactly. And really, to be honest, before you really get to that net spendable income, you should also subtract your giving. And then you really have your net spendable income. And that's where all the money for your categories is going to come from. And that's all you've got to spend in a given month or a given period of time. You have to use that net spendable income and use that to create your categories to allow you to live within your means.
Another way that people fool themselves and make mistakes with money is when they say, we don't make enough money to do any savings. We don't make enough money to save any money. And that's just another example of fooling yourself, right?
You know, you might not be able to save a bunch of money, but you should always save some amount of money for that rainy day, for that retirement, for college education, whatever it is, but you've got it for the emergency, especially for emergencies. Financial advisors can disagree over how much you need to have saved for a rainy day or for a comfortable retirement. You know what? If you're living paycheck to paycheck, pretty soon you're going to run up debt because something's going to happen. I guarantee it. Something is going to happen, and you're not going to be able to handle it out of your normal cash accounts.
Your net spendable income.
Your net spendable income. And then you're going to run up debt. You can't ignore the fact that sometime in the future, you're going to have an emergency. It could be a health issue. It could be an accident. Maybe you don't get a bonus this year. A layoff at work. Whatever it is, there's any number of things that will cause issues that need to be taken care of with the extra cash. If you're not saving, you're also ignoring the fact that you need to plan for major upkeep on your house or your car or those quarterly payments that come in.
That always surprise people.
That always surprise people. It's here again, every quarter. I don't believe it.
Oh, you better believe it. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for getting yourself totally out of debt. There's no secret to what we do. It's all contained in the Bible. You realize there are 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money and possessions. You can learn more about how we can help you get rid of debt by going to compasscatholic.org. Today, John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, are taking us through the excuses people make that could lead to debt or the misusing the money that God has provided to us. So, Evelyn, let's show everybody that we're human too. Let's discuss some of the same money mistakes that we have been discussing that we have made, and maybe start out by sharing maybe a biggie that you and John have committed.
You know, John, one of the mistakes that we made while we're talking about mistakes that people make with their money is that we deserved a house that was more than we could afford.
Absolutely.
It was that big house that you talked about earlier.
Yep.
It wasn't pretty.
It was beautiful. What do you mean?
The house was beautiful. Our financial situation wasn't pretty after that.
So why did you do that? I've heard you say this before that you...
Because we were trying to keep up with our neighbors.
Is that... Yeah. Really, that's the reason.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But the other thing is that if I hadn't quit my job, we would have had no financial issues whatsoever.
Now, did you quit your job before you moved
into the
house?
I quit my job 2 weeks after we moved in.
Okay, that's pretty different.
It was not a good idea.
It was a very stupid idea.
So, like us, if you're in over your head on a house, you're never going to have enough in those other categories to take care of your needs.
Yeah.
Our recommendation is that your housing costs never add up to more than 30 to 40% of your net spendable income.
The thing about that is that 30 to 40% isn't the mortgage payment.
That's correct. It's all your housing costs.
It's all the housing. That's the electric utilities, the water utilities, gas.
Garbage collection,
your homeowner's insurance, your house insurance.
Your homeowner's fees.
All that.
Maintenance, upkeep.
Yes. All that should only be 30 to 40%. So what we're saying is that your mortgage should only be 20%.
Right.
Of your net spendable income.
That's right.
Maybe you could let it creep to 25, but you're really putting yourself on a sharp edge if you do that.
Yep.
So many people think when they hear 30 to 40%, that's the
mortgage payment. Yeah.
Yes. So many people that we counsel, they're shocked when you say, no, you've got to add in boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
And that's the way they get into trouble is they think it's only the mortgage. That's like when you buy a car and you calculate your transportation costs. Your transportation costs aren't the car payment.
Right.
Your transportation costs are the car payment, the insurance, the tolls, the gas, the oil changes.
Yes.
All the maintenance and upkeep Absolutely. You need to do on a car.
It's the whole shebang.
It's the whole category, not just the one little piece of the
exactly.
category.
What are you going to do about that way? You know, you got to be smart. You have to think about all that kind of stuff. If you've got $2,000 a month to spend on your housing, or $200 a month to spend.
$2,000?
Yeah, that would be closer. Yeah, I like that better.
Okay.
So you got $2,000 a month to spend, net spendable income.
Okay.
And $1,000 of that is your housing costs.
That only leaves you with $1,000 for everything else
everything
for the rest of the
else.
Month.
That's like $33 a day or something like that.
So that's $33 a day for all the transportation costs, food, clothing, entertainment, whatever you need for the children, everything else.
It's probably unrealistic that you're going to be able to have the whole category of housing costs be $1,000.
In a lot of places, that's very unreasonable.
Yeah. In any city.
Yes.
It's probably unreasonable. Maybe out in the country. And the thing that we've got to be careful about is thinking that, well, we deserve a house, we need a house, we should have a house, whatever. You know, in Romans 12:2, it said, do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you.
So don't keep up with what the neighbors do.
Exactly.
Or what society expects of you.
The Joneses don't care what you're doing anyway.
And they're probably in just as much trouble as you are, if not more.
Exactly.
Okay, here's another mistake that people make, John. How about when people say, oh, I'll just wait and save for retirement later?
Yeah, well.
Later never comes.
No, later always comes. But you're never prepared for it then either. You should, beginning as soon as you graduate from college.
As soon as you get your first job.
You should really start when you're in high school.
When you get your first job.
Yeah. With that first job, start saving, even if it's only $5 or $10 a month, you know, and you're still in high school, put $5 or $10 a month away towards retirement. You think, oh, why would I do that? That's 50 years away. Guess what? That $5 or $10 a month over 50 years will become much more than you can carry in your pocketbook.
Or your purse.
Yes, yes.
Or your pocket.
If your employer offers you some kind of a 401k matching or whatever, any type of a 401k program, and you're not putting into that, you're not saving part of your salary into that 401 savings plan, that's even a bigger mistake.
Especially if there's an employer match.
Oh, yes, yes, because that employer match is free money. Should I say that again? That's free money.
I love free money. So the best way to start a retirement fund is to start early and save on a regular basis, no matter how little you have.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Proverbs 21:5 says, steady plodding brings prosperity. And if you're saving $5 or $10 a month beginning in high school, and then, you know, you graduate from college, you get a real job, and you're saving $100 or $150 a month, by the time you're ready to retire, you're going to have enough money there for you.
Enough money to fund your retirement. How about the mistake people make when they see an investment and they say, it's too good to be true, I have to invest in this, and they jump into something that's not appropriate for them?
Guess what?
It's probably...
If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Go the other direction. You know, and that's especially true if you're chasing after aggressive short-term fixes. Because... You know, you're just going to end up losing money. You know, you might win once or twice, but the third time you'll not only lose everything you won, but you'll probably have to dig into your pocket to pay back to get to zero.
Because the higher the rate of return, the higher the risk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And instant profits on house flipping or investments or day trading, usually are too good to be true.
You've got to keep your greed in check.
Ooh, and I like that.
That's crucial. Keep your greed in check. And, you know, build up that emergency fund. Once again, we go back to that emergency fund. Start planning for retirement early.
And don't take big risks out of desperation for a quick solution when you have money problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Steady plodding, steady plodding. There's another great, the Bible is an unbelievable textbook on your financial lives. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires, which pull them down into ruin and destruction."
Ooh, ruin and destruction.
That's pretty graphic, isn't it? You know? Don't go after those get-rich-quick things.
All right, now another foolish thing people do, another way they fool themselves, is to take money out of their retirement fund early in the hopes that they'll be able to buy what they want now and pay it back later.
So I'm going to borrow my own money and pay myself back, is basically
yes.
is what you're
and
saying.
And while I'm doing that, I am losing the interest I would have earned if that money had stayed invested.
That's true. That's true.
And they're not saving for retirement, so they're getting even further behind.
That's true also.
And they're paying a penalty.
And they're paying, that's a good point.
Penalty. Well,
yes.
There are some exceptions
right.
there. But you have to be careful because if you've borrowed money from your 401k, and that's basically what we're talking about here, you borrow from your 401k, that's allowed, and you can pay it back, and that's allowed, and there's no penalty. But if after you've borrowed money, you get fired, you get laid off, or you decide you're going to take a new job someplace else because they're going to pay you more money, guess what?
You have to pay that back.
That loan has to be paid back yeah. in full the day you leave the company.
Yeah. And if you had to borrow in the first place, you probably don't have it to pay back.
Precisely. And then you will get penalized.
There you go.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. What's another way people fool themselves about their finances?
Well, how about thinking they don't have enough money to give to the church?
That's a foolish thing to think.
Yes.
A very foolish thing to think, because although it's easy to convince yourself that you need the money, there's always enough money to be generous, even if it's at a very, very low level.
Well, let's don't lose sight of this whole process, okay? And what I'm saying is, guess who all that money and all those possessions that you have belong to?
They don't belong to you.
It's a three-letter word, but it doesn't start with Y. They belong to God. And He's blessed you. So the question is, and we've said this before, it's not how much of my money am I going to give to God. It's how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? And guess what? You need to be given. It doesn't matter whether you're earning $5 an hour or $150 an hour or more. You need to be giving something.
And it's not because God needs the money. It's because we need to learn how to be givers to get our hearts straight.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think there was a story of the widow's mite in the Bible, and they talked about what we were required to give. No amount is too small. Giving is not done because God needs the money.
It's done as a way for us to honor Him.
To honor Him. You know, Acts 20:35 says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Mark 8:36 says, "What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, but forfeit his soul?" I think those are some pretty good things that we should stay away from, the things that we've talked about today.
Don't make those mistakes.
Don't fool yourself about your finances. And remember, it's not about the money.
It's about the change.
It's about the change in your heart.
You know, it's true. A majority of us do fool ourselves when it comes to money. And we kind of have that attitude that it's all our money, when in reality, the money is a gift from God. Now, if you'd like to listen to this show again, it's available simply by going to compasscatholic.org. click on Compass on the radio and download it and listen to it at your convenience. And the reality of it is you can go back and listen to any show and download it that we've done over the last year. They're all contained at compasscatholic.org. We also have a summary of today's show. So if we mentioned any websites, books, articles, all that will be listed there so you can reference those as well. Again, they're at compasscatholic.org. And as we do each and every week, the custom that we have is to answer a question from one of our listeners. And this one is asking John and Evelyn for some help with a scripture reference. John and Evelyn, where in the Bible does it say the borrower is slave to the lender?
I'm glad you asked, Steve, because that's one of my favorite scripture verses that kind of puts into a capsule what we're all about as far as Compass Catholic Ministries. That verse is from Proverbs 22:7, John, and it reads...
Well, I don't have the whole verse in front of me right now, but it does say that the borrower is slave to the lender. Everybody knows how much in this country, pretty much worldwide, I think, that we hate slavery. The Lord wants us to be free of debt, and that's one of the reasons we often talk about it and why we want you to become debt-free.
Because we don't want you to be the slave of the lender.
If you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, send as many as you would like. Here's the email address, ask@compasscatholic.org. Once again, that's ask@compasscatholic.org. Well, we thank you so much for listening. Please join us again for Manage Your Money God's Way. And the name of the ministry is Compass Catholic.